Well, ladies and gentlemen, once again, it's a very great pleasure to welcome you to the Ramada today and to our 2014 conference. Last year, we had an excellent conference, and so far, this year's is looking even better. Since we last met, we have faced the electorate in the European and local government elections. All parties are judged on the response they receive from the voters. And this year, I'm happy to report that we received the best level of support from the people in many years. Jim Nicholson retained his European seat for the sixth consecutive time. And we punched way above our weight in the elections for the new councils, being the only party to see its share of the vote go up and seeing many of our younger members getting into councils, some of them at the first attempt. Let's give them a round of applause too. We had 16 of our councillors come top of the poll in their respective areas, stretching from the most westerly in Erne West to the most easterly in Carrickfergus. Naturally, I'm not being biased, but as a Belfast man, I was delighted to see that we have begun our revival in the capital city, and it gave me very great pleasure to see our long-serving alderman, Jim Rogers, not only top the poll in his Ormiston area in Belfast, but Jim received the highest personal vote in all of the greater Belfast area by any candidate. Well done, Jim. This is in no small measure due to the tireless and effective leadership we are receiving from Mike Nesbitt, ladies and gentlemen. And the work of all our colleagues at Stormont, from Jim Nicholson in Brussels and our councillors and members all over Northern Ireland. On the stage beside me, you see our strapline doing right, doing what's right for Northern Ireland. While success at one set of elections is to be welcomed, it does not mean that we have yet convinced the people that our policies are the long-term answer to their problems, but what is undeniable is that more people are realising that this party really does believe in doing what's right for Northern Ireland. We took decisions many years ago that led to the re-establishment of Stormont, though very painful and costly to this party, that are now being recognised as having created the opportunities for local politicians to move us from conflict to a new order, with economic development at the core of Stormont's programme for government. However, delegates, I'm angry today that as we meet in this hall, the DUP Sinn Féin duo at Stormont is systematically squandering the opportunities that we helped create. The Assembly is now in part despised by people for its continual failures to resolve problems, and the final straw has been the widespread financial mismanagement of our budget, culminating in the humiliating handover of effective financial control to the Treasury in exchange for a payday loan, which has to be repaid by April of next year. Don't be fooled into believing that the financial shortfall is down to problems over welfare reform alone. The reductions imposed by Treasury over welfare account for less than half the shortfall. The reason that this is happening now is staring us in the face, and successive governments have been warned about it but have chosen to bury their heads in the sand. Neither the DUP nor Sinn Féin took part in the negotiations that resulted in the model of government designed in 1998. They decided to stay away and let others do the heavy lifting. The Office of First and Deputy First Minister was built on the concept of a partnership between two traditions. The Assembly was involved in appointing the office holders to that office, but however complicated and cumbersome that system was, it was the only way at that time to get the buy-in from a divided community. What transpired in 2006 was the tearing up by the government of that concept of partnership when the methodology for electing the First and Deputy First Minister was changed without any consultation with the rest of us. This has altered the dynamics of devolution from pursuing a shared future to a carved up future with all the disastrous consequences that we see today. The Assembly has been bypassed and relies on week-by-week political fixes between those two parties to limp on to the next crisis. It wasn't meant to be like this, delegates. Our intention was that all the people would get a real dividend from devolution, but that has not yet happened. Underachievement is still widespread in many former conflict zones, despite nearly 16 years of devolution. Michael McGimpsey's frequent warnings over the health budget have been ignored. The National Crime Agency is not functioning fully in Northern Ireland, and the ultimate failure of Stormont was the gerrymandering of Belfast for the recent local government elections. The problem, Peter, is not that Stormont isn't fit for purpose, but that you and your party are no longer fit for purpose. This party will not rest until the people get the promises made to them in 1998 delivered. And there will be an end to high levels of underachievement. Failing schools will be turned around. This has been successfully done in London in less than 3 years. That the health service that we all hold dear will be resourced and run properly. And that a new generation will be given the skills to strengthen our economy and create the wealth that will generate the taxes that can pay for our cherished public services. That remains the goal of this party. This can only be done from within the union, and our task, delegates, is to give our leader and representatives the support they need to deliver and really do what's right for Northern Ireland. Ladies and gentlemen, as always at our conference, we have a full display area of exhibitors outside the hall, and they contribute substantially to the finances of our conference. Please ensure that at the break you visit the stalls and learn of the great work undertaken by these organisations and charities. You will also notice a stall manned by Bill Manwaring from West Belfast. Bill and his colleagues can manufacture all manner of interesting products which you personally or your associations may find of interest. These include coffee mugs, key rings, coasters, mouse pads, all sorts of things. And the profits from this activity will be used to contribute to the running of our West Belfast office on the Shanker Road. So please give Bill and his colleagues all the support that you can. I would also appeal for you to drop into the Fringe meeting at lunchtime. This is being chaired by Sandra Overend, and it will be addressed by Mairead McGuinness, MEP, Vice President of the European Parliament. It's been held in the Madrona Suite in the Business Centre on the second floor and is dealing with women in public life. Please attend that after the first conference session during the lunch hour. Have a great day. It now gives me very great pleasure to invite Sandra Overend, MLA, to introduce Mr. Danny Kennedy. Sandra.
Leader, lords, elected representatives, ladies and gentlemen, fellow Welsh unionists, I am delighted to speak to conference today as the Assembly Private Secretary to the Minister for Regional Development. It is a pleasure to speak to conference of a party which has strong representation across Northern Ireland, and I join with others in congratulating our strong team of newly elected super councillors. Don't you love that phrase, super councillors? And of course, our MEP, Jim Nicholson, on another successful re-election to the European Parliament. And we can all look forward to the challenge of the upcoming Westminster and Stormont elections with renewed confidence. The Ulster Unionist Party is truly on the up. It has been my pleasure to work alongside our Executive Minister, Dana Kennedy, MLA, since my appointment in January of this year. The role has given me an insight into the busy ministerial diary, departmental policy development, budget discussions, and of course the sheer number of Assembly questions involving trains, planes and automobiles and everything in between. As a keen cyclist myself, the departmental involvement in the Giro d'Italia was a particular highlight, and of course I must again pay tribute to the Minister's role in securing this showpiece event for Northern Ireland. Whilst the nitty-gritty of getting on my bike through the rainy streets of Belfast with the DRD cycling unit was also a particular experience I'm unlikely to forget. In his role as Regional Development Minister, Danny Kennedy has improved public transport to such an extent that TransLink customer satisfaction is at record-breaking levels. He has pressed ahead with the Belfast on the Move rapid transit scheme to ensure our capital city is much more accessible than ever. He has set out ambitious plans for our railway network. He has proposed a bicycle strategy to bring about a cycling revolution. He has improved roads right across Northern Ireland and commissioned major projects such as the Macrofeld Bypass and the Belfast to Larne dual carriageway. He has taken steps to increase the diversity of public appointments within his department, and he has fixed potholes up and down the country. We can be proud of a minister who is serving in the interests of the public in spite of continued budget cuts, in spite of Wonga economics, in spite of deal or no deal politics, in spite of DUP Sinn Féin carve-ups. As our Ulster Union Minister, he is doing what is right for Northern Ireland. Conference, it is my pleasure to introduce the Minister for Regional Development, Dana Kennedy, MLA.